Lammy.
G'day. Is it working?
Yeah.
Okay.
It just said write error. Fuck, I hope this works. I'd be pissed if we get through this whole thing and I figure out it doesn't work. Because I'm going to keep this on my lap just in case. I use a different SD card because I can't find my normal one. So hopefully we're good.
See what happens. I suppose if people are listening to this, then it worked.
Then it worked. We'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
If it didn't, we'll have to get our guest back on again and pretend we didn't talk about it. What's going on?
Oh, you know, a bit of this, bit of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Got a fun little friend here with us today.
We do.
Who are you?
Hello.
Hello. I think maybe pull it a little closer.
Get comfy.
Yeah, relax. Lay down. Relax. Well, don't lay down. Why are you telling her to lay down?
She looks not relaxed.
Yeah, like that. You pull it all the way in. Just pull it close to you.
There we go.
Yeah. And now get it like this close to your mouth.
Is that better?
No. Go closer.
Got to make it like uncomfortably close to your face.
There we go. Try that.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. That's a pretty distinct voice that I think most of the members will know.
Yep.
How are you, Beck?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming to hang out today.
That's okay. Just trying to get used to this being in my face.
Yeah, it's a lot. You'll get used to it by the end of it.
Yeah.
And I've said it a million times before, I love podcasting because you can only hear each other and yourself and that's all you can hear. So it's like just you in this
room. We're just
room
in having, it.
Having a conversation. In. That's all. Like, it's just so good. let's start with who the bloody hell are you? And let's start with how long you've been a member here and how did you find us? Let's start with that.
So I've been a member since September 2020.
Oh, yeah. It's nearly
3 years.
Yep, nearly mm-hmm. 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I found you because I've been driving past the old gym for quite a few years to the dance studio at the back mm-hmm. of that area.
Who was dancing?
Both boys.
Oh, cool. Yeah. What sort of dance were they doing?
They're doing acro.
Oh, cool.
And hip hop.
Yep.
And then COVID came along mm-hmm. and you guys moved. Mm-hmm. And then I thought maybe I need to do something to maybe get a bit fitter than sitting at my desk all day.
So what, you weren't training prior?
Oh, I've always done something, but nothing like this. And I was looking for something that would give me a little bit more than just somebody standing at the front bouncing around and me just copying them.
So you went to like normal gyms and did group fitness classes?
Yeah, so through school I swam 7 times a week until I was well into uni. And then I kind of went into my current job and started my professional exams. And at that point everything kind of fell away.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing bits and pieces and bits of like going to the local gym around the corner and just doing my own stuff, a bit of spinning, a few classes.
So always been fit and like always tried to
do something. And then the boys came along and that gives you a period of time where you don't quite do as much as you'd like to because you're just tired all the time. And then I did a few triathlons and stuff like that between the boys and things like that. And then Henry came along and we moved to here, to the Sunshine Coast, which was 12 years ago. And
straight from the UK then?
No, I came to the UK from the UK in 2009. So yep. I was in Brisbane for 2 or 3 years beforehand. And then, I didn't really have much. There wasn't really anywhere to, I didn't find anywhere to go for quite a long time. And I was working. So my office is in Sydney. So I was commuting backwards and forwards from the Sunshine Coast pretty much every week and in and out of Brisbane pretty much every week. So I didn't really have the opportunity to do anything. And I just head down, just work. After I came back from maternity leave. And then I was like, through COVID, I need to get my health up my priority list and to really have a think about how I can drive wellness into my day-to-day life rather than just constantly working and just basically my computer was in my kitchen through all of COVID and there was no escaping it and I was going through some pretty big personal stuff and some pretty big work stuff at the time and I thought need to prioritize this. It's time, yeah. Time to get my knees sorted and maybe into alignment.
I remember your first on-ramp sessions. I remember saying to Mandy, there's no way this lady's going to last. She's not going to stay here.
Why do you think that?
Do you remember them?
I do remember them, yeah. But as you know, I have absolutely zero coordination. My brain and my body do not talk. And so you have to prod me to get me into the right spot. It was like,
okay, this is air squat. This is how low I need you to go. She could do it. Yep. Okay, show me five. Go down lower. Go down lower. I can't. You just did. Try it again. I can't. Just try again. You can. It was just constant that the whole time. I was like, this lady's just going to fight me every step of the way.
She's here 3 years later. Yeah. Still fighting.
Still fighting.
Still fighting. Yeah.
She also told me, she's like, I'll never run. You'll never make me run.
Was that in the on-ramp?
Yeah, in those first on-ramps.
You said that in your first sessions?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Because you were away on leave at the time.
Was I?
Yeah, and Jay did my interview.
Yeah.
My
day. Ah.
Yeah. She was like, boss lady's away.
Yeah. You're like, I wonder who this woman is.
Yeah. Yeah. But I didn't really know what I was getting myself into.
Yeah. Why? So you just saw us near the dance studio.
Yeah.
And then that's why you chose this place. I just saw it.
Yeah, I just saw it and I thought I'll go and have a chat and see what it's
like. Did you see like runners or like did you see people not working out?
Not hugely.
No. Interesting. You were just like, yep, that'll do.
This place will do.
It's the first one I see.
It was women's only as well. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it will have a focus that I kind of need. And so, yeah. But throw me something that I don't know how to do and I'm like, yep, okay. You've given me the challenge because I love learning. I love learning new things and I love doing stuff that's hard that I know that I can't quite do because for here, it gives me something entirely different. So the things I do every day with work, I've been doing for 23 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's hard stuff I do, stuff I like, stuff I dislike. But at the end of the day, I generally know what I'm doing. Every time I walk in here, no idea.
Yep.
I wonder if that's what everyone likes about it. Yeah. I like that it's always different, for sure.
I have to focus on it. So I'm here for an hour and I cannot think of anything else other than not dropping that thing on my foot. and that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Or not twisting my ankle last night in the dark going around to the smelly bin.
And so did you ever lift weights before coming here?
No.
Or like strength trained of any kind? No. Did you do body pump?
Yeah. A little bit of the Les Mills stuff with like, 2 kilograms or something.
Yeah, Candice used to do that too.
Mm. Yeah. My fave.
Double class. Back to back on a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I used to do like one class on a Monday for an hour at the YMCA in Brisbane.
Love it.
And that's pretty much it.
And so did you research us before walking in?
Not really, no.
Love it. Yeah, you were like,
that's very unlike you also.
She just saw it and she was like,
just got a pull to it. This is my thing.
This is where I have to go now.
I'm not going to run though.
No. And so what do you remember when you first started, like not having ever done anything like this, not knowing anyone that came here? Because most people that come here, they come because they know someone that already comes here. That's how 90% of people walk through this door. So you didn't really have any idea. So do you remember your on-ramps? Do you remember thinking, oh, this place is shit. Like, was it like, this sucks? Or were you like, this is cool?
I was kind of taking it at how it came at the time. I mean, 2020 was a really big year and I think stuff was being thrown at us in lots of different ways. It was giving me somebody to talk to outside of like having Zoom calls end to end, 9 to 5, every 30 minutes, every single day.
Because you've gone from traveling every week to being stuck at home 24/7 pretty much because you were working from home then at that point too.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so I'd been working from home since the 13th of March when I left New South Wales because I didn't think I was going to be able to get home to the boys after that.
Mm.
And so at that point, I was pretty much working from home and I'd just gone through a particularly big promotion the year before. And it was a learning curve.
Mm.
So I was like, I was talking to people in like Coles.
Excuse me.
Who's this crazy British lady bailing everyone up? I'm so lonely.
And I was talking to people, clients and my team and other people every single day, but that face-to-face interaction. And so I was actually really happy to just have somewhere to go.
She's like, I don't care if she makes me squat to death. I'm going to come so I can keep talking.
I remember when that happened, like COVID and lockdowns, and I was a part of a group of gym owners, and so many of them saw it as an opportunity to close their location and go fully online. I knew it wouldn't work. I knew, like, people need face-to-face. Like, people didn't really know at that point, unless you always did work from home, that you need face. It's different. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you need, like, energy from people. You can't just train people online and just hope for the best. And same with, obviously, just socializing. You just need that social aspect of being in front of someone, not on a screen.
Yes, and also that when you're on a Zoom call, you're on topic for 30 minutes straight. True. And then you're on another topic for 30 minutes straight, and it's exhausting. You don't ever have that, oh, do you want to have a cup of coffee, or how are the kids, or those types of conversations that happens as you're walking into a meeting room, as you're sitting down, as you're having a few jokes, as you wrap up. And that's the stuff that I really miss, that real interaction. And so that was kind of what I was looking for. And also the fact that I could just tell that I was really unhealthy after commuting for such a long time. I just got divorced and I was dealing with, you know, kids in the house 50-50 and dealing with moving house and all sorts of things. And I was like, okay, I need a out here. I need a way of getting fit and healthy because that's what I love doing. And I love it.
So how long did it take you to realise that you were going to be here for a while?
I don't know. Every day I kind of like...
She's like, here we go again.
It's a bit like the habits stuff. So I think I started putting it into my diary. And so now the whole routine of the week revolves around where I'm going to be at gym. Pick the kids up, bring them here. Because they're here on Mondays and Wednesdays, for their training as well. Figuring out my oldest son's Will's climbing routine around it. You know, when am I going to train in the day versus when is he going to train in the day? Where I'm going to be at the weekends? I do PT with Candice on a remote perspective when I'm in Sydney. So it's basically all of that. Putting it into my diary and basically prioritizing it. And that has made it that it's just a no-brainer. That's what I do.
When did you start enjoying it after you... So you started doing that when you first started training. How long until you were like, I really like this?
I think it was actually the first Contessa Games, which was delayed that year.
Cool.
I think it was in October, November. So it wasn't very long. Yeah. I hadn't been here very long.
And like you joined in September and then we did it a couple months later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I figured it out.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I don't think I'd figured out the competitive or the sport element of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely hadn't figured out the fact that if you've got 27 minutes to do something, that you don't take 27 minutes to do it. I know that sounds really stupid.
No.
But, you know, if you've got to do a certain workout and the time cap is, you know, you need to do it as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Or within your capability and put as much effort in as possible. Not, oh, you've got 27 minutes to do this, so you can just, like, you know,
cruise along.
Have a few glasses of water on the way. And then I started putting in goals for myself, and that's when I started really enjoying it. So
I would say she discovered intensity.
Yes.
From the Contessa Games. Yes. I would say that what you figured out was that the harder you work, the more you're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And... So, like, not taking breaks, not...
I think this could be... I'm could be thinking of the wrong person, but I think I had to ban you from water breaks.
That's right.
Yeah, it was you at one point, because we would do, like, one thing and then she'd go and have a break. Like, no, get back here. Not done yet.
No water the entire hour.
Imagine if someone new came into the gym and they saw me yelling at someone, you're not allowed to drink water again.
We talked about this.
That's funny.
So I really learned about the fact that the difference between feeling injured and sore.
Mm-hmm. That because you got injured? Or
I just didn't know.
You were sore all the time.
I was just sore all the time.
That hasn't changed.
No. Still sore. Still sore after last night. knowing where that pain threshold sits was really like open my eyes to that. I just enjoy the fact that I can push my body, and I know I can push my body much, much further than I ever thought possible, because I'm figuring out these things as I go along.
Look at us both sitting here smiling. We're like,
fuck yeah.
Good.
It works.
I've been drinking the Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
Proper.
Good.
How old were you when you started?
41.
And you said you discovered that you could push your body this hard only from this. So up until 41 years of age, you didn't know how hard you could push?
Oh, through swimming, I think I've... But then different. When you're a teenager,
yeah,
you just do it because that's what your body does. It's like you have no ability to understand how to scale. You just go for it. You just send it every single time you get in the pool when you're 14.
Yeah.
And so I just didn't... I didn't quite understand that. I'd been kind of figuring it out for myself up to that point, but I definitely didn't understand the fact that your brain is in the way most of the time.
Yeah. It's a good lesson to learn. And before we move on to a different topic, what are some things that you can do now or that you've done that you didn't know you could do before?
So for me, it's the functional element of the fact that I can be independent.
Mm-hmm.
So as a woman who lives in a house on her own, I have to do certain stuff. And so it's given me confidence to know that I can do certain things. So I can move stuff around the house, and I can put the bike rack on the back of the car, and I can put the bikes on, and I can go mountain biking with the boys. And we did a 15-kilometer hike the other day. And so I'm able to participate in stuff that my teenage boy is desperate to do all of the time, and I want to continue to encourage them to do. And it's that's what this has given me, is that confidence to be able to do that.
Oh, I fucking goosebumps.
And I think...
that was well said.
I've coached you for a couple of years now every week, and that's something that I've noticed such a big change in you, is you're doing more stuff outside the gym that we never talked about before. Like, you just... How many kilometers did you do on the mountain bike on the weekend? 23 or something in
23 on Saturday.
Yeah, and just things like that you... probably, you know, 2.5 years ago you never talked about before, but now you're like kayaking on the weekends, and you guys are doing adventure tries, and just like all these things that when you first started you were like, I will never run, and now you're like doing it for fun.
Yep,
so great. Fun.
And seeing the impact it has on the boys and being able to be outside with them, and I love being outside.
Mm.
And so it's given me that confidence and the capability to be able to know that I'm not going to die. It's going to be, I might be slow, but I'll always get there.
And I guess relatability to your sons is probably important long term as well. Like being able to have things in common with them is probably very important. Yeah,
it is. And making most of the time. Well, they're still kids and they still want me around. Because we're getting to the stage where one in particular would rather I wasn't.
I feel like because both your kids do CrossFit and your eldest boy does the adult classes with you, I feel like you guys will have that in common for, like, even though he may not want to hang out with you on the weekends, at least you can always come here and be equals. Like, you can always do that together. He might not talk to you when you leave, but at least while you're here, you're spending that time together.
Yeah, and actually, funnily enough, when we leave, a bit of exercise actually helps him just talk, and it gets over his frustration of the day and all those types of things from school. So we were in the car last night comparing notes on when we did 400 meter sprints, and he was like, well, I've got all these records of when I did it last time. This is where I am now, and this is what you were doing and stuff like that. It's just a really nice conversation to have with your child, which is not, you know, behavioral or do your homework or...
Like you're not being a parent right then and there. You're able to speak to them in a tone and in a way that's like almost like a friend, you know, and it would be nice for them to have that as well. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's also opened his eyes up to what he can be capable of and how he's getting in his own way. So doing a lot of conversations about nutrition at the moment, and I have done all of his life. But for him to be able to see the impact between him eating properly and then performing has made that conversation around food be more about, if you want to achieve this, and this is the steps you need to think about today to be able to achieve that, rather than, but I don't like that food, so I'm not going to eat it and I'll be fine, which is kind of where we were beforehand.
And even just from how old is Will?
14.
Yeah, like being around this environment, having a different person that's not a teacher or a parent tell them what to do. Like, sports for kids is so important. And if they can be in an environment where they're with other either young adults or teenagers that are also in the class and all age people and just being a part of it, I think it's so, so good for their development and overall like social skills and just being able to communicate. And I think, like you said once to me, did he say thank you? Did he say thank you for that class? I was like, yeah, Beck, he said thank you. He said thank you. He was polite.
So polite.
Yeah, he's a good kid. So I think that sort of stuff is, yeah, that's really cool and important too for their overall.
And to have those positive role models, like often he would train in the same class as Kyle, who's, you know, a lot older than him and is a lot bigger than him, but he can, you know, he can race him on muscle up sometimes. And that's really cool to see that little competitive edge and for him to be like, I'm going to be that good one day if I keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool. It's lucky kids.
On the other side of the coin of that though, is that we don't have egos here.
Mm.
And as a male, I think it's important for him to understand where he sits based on what he's capable of at that particular point in time, rather than injuring himself as a young adult because of ego.
Mm.
And so, you know, he was doing overhead squats the other day and he told you quite a long time ago that he was not going to do them and he didn't like them and he was never good at them. And now he's doing them in a workout with an empty bar and without nobody, there was no ego there.
No. And that's, and that I think that's another part of this kind of environment for any age is you can be great at one thing and then the next day you're not. And it's the complete opposite, like Will with muscle ups versus overhead squats. But if he can just try his best and do his 100% effort, it doesn't matter. No one cares. Like to show a kid, no one cares what it looks like. As long as you try your best, that's going to help them get through life in a pretty cool way.
Yep.
And sorry, I guess we're on a tangent now, but for, I think, teenage boys to come in here and see women doing amazing things, I think that's so important as well. Like they're going to go out into the world and realize that women are strong and capable and they can do great things and they can be athletes. And his mum is an athlete, you know, that's just such a cool thing for them to learn at a young age, I think.
True, despite the ragging he gives me.
Oh, we're working on those, don't worry.
I was going to ask you if you're competitive with each other when you get in the car. Like, does he give you shit for beating you in running last night or is he pretty good?
Not with running, but pull-ups.
Yeah.
He does take some account.
He was a little bit mean the other week.
Yeah. He was mean to me about my handstands too, don't worry. Must have been the same night, I'd say. He's feeling very sassy that evening. Let's move on. Let's talk about your job, your work. So you said you've been doing it for 23 years, is that
right?
That's
right, yeah.
So did you leave school, go to uni, do that, and then straight into it? Is that what happened?
I am very academic and I've always been the square bear. I've been the one with the girl with the glasses that was good at English and maths and science and stuff like that. So I have always loved learning. That's been the main thing. I've loved learning. I've always been very analytical. I've loved problem solving. And basically my job day to day is problem solving. And so I love what I do because I get to solve problems every single day. So I went from school. So in the UK, they have a slightly different process. So you do your GCSEs and then you go to an upper sixth college. So it's like the last couple of years of school, you go elsewhere. And then you do your A-levels and then you go to university. So I was at uni until 2000, and then I had a year out and travelled around Australia, and then I started my first job with a professional services firm and did my accountancy exams, and I did that in the UK in Birmingham for 9 years, and then I moved over here. They moved me over here in the middle of the GFC.
So the company you worked for relocated me to Australia,
yeah, mm-hmm. with a one-year-old. And it was the learning curve of all learning curves. So, yeah, I had to learn Australian accounting,
Is it very
different? I thought you were saying Australian, like the language.
Like, I had to learn Australian. I had to learn how to Australia.
G'day, mate.
So to be entirely technical, there's a certain, well, at the time in the late 2000s, there was all of the different countries around the world had different accounting standards. And so you were trained in the accounting standards of the country in which you qualified. Now there's an international set of standards. And so everyone gets trained in that international set. But at the time, I had to learn what the Australians were doing versus what the UK was doing. I came back to work 3 days a week for the first time, part-time, and I had to figure out that. 12-month-old baby, no family here, had to figure out that. And in an entirely different industry, so I went from manufacturing to financial services. So it was a learning curve.
Yeah. And then how long were you doing that compared to what you do now?
So I'm still in financial services. So I moved firms in 2015. I moved to where I am now. And I focus on banking regulation and banks in particular.
Yeah. So you get people in trouble? No.
I problem solve.
Yeah. So I'm a what's called a registered company auditor.
Whenever I hear the word auditor, I'm like, ooh.
And I'm a partner at Deloitte focusing on financial services.
Mm-hmm. So that's what you're a big dog, basically.
She's a big dog.
Mm.
So I'm part of the financial services practice in Sydney, and that's where my office is, but I work from home and work remotely. And I've always worked an element remotely. Even pre-COVID, I would work between the two kind of states. My client base are mostly lenders or companies within financial services, so institutional and retail banks.
So let's go in like a minute. What's a day at work for Beck?
Oh, every day is different. I know that sounds really cliched, but it really, really is. So I have external clients I have to work with. I have other partners I need to talk to. I have a team of people doing work at clients, and I also have a team of people that I work with from their career coaching perspective as well. And then I also need to look at, you know, business development type things as well. And so on a day, I could have a conversation with a person about their career. I could have a conversation with a client about an accounting standard. I could have a conversation with a team about how they're managing the process. I could have a conversation with another partner about, you know, how we're managing finances or how we're kind of dealing with training our people. So it's very, very varied.
Very different.
Very varied, yeah.
But would you say it's mainly to do with people?
Mainly to do with people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like you're mainly working with people. Either yep. above, beside, or below you.
That's right, yeah. Yep. Always people. We couldn't do what we do without people.
Yep.
And with being able to support the people that are in our organisation, but also working with clients and their people to help them along the journey to come to a solution to the problem that they've kind of come to us with.
Am I right to assume that your industry is relatively male-dominated?
Banking, yes.
Yeah.
Professional services generally, yes.
Yeah.
It's getting better. It is getting better, but it is quite male orientated, yes.
Is that, I think our job is as well male dominated. There's not many gyms I know of that have an entire staff of women, let alone run by women as well. But we just work with us, so we don't have any, you know, it's only when we go to a course and we're like, oh, okay.
There's men out there.
There's dudes. would you say, is it difficult to navigate at times? Like, do you feel like there can be, I don't know, a male ego in your type of business? Like, that's like, no, little lady, you don't understand. Can it be like that? Or is that like, am I thinking way too old school?
There is an element of how to create a relationship. A business relationship with somebody that you have nothing in common with, who may be older, may have a different perspective on life, etc. So that's always a challenge. There's always a way of thinking that through and making sure that you're the right person to create that business relationship with that individual as well. So you have to take a bit of, you have to look at your own ego as well. So sometimes you need to take a step away and say, I'm just not the right person to do this, and identify the right person. The other element is that I'm, you know, a relatively small, softly spoken lady. And sometimes when I have a particular view that I want to get across, that does sometimes get perceived like I'm putting my foot down and I'm, you know, being a bit overzealous. And actually it's just to kind of create that space in the room to actually say, come on, guys, you need to think about this. It's got better throughout my career. I don't have so many issues now than I may have done in the past.
Interesting.
I know that you work quite a lot in your practice trying to help women get to like the level that you're at as well.
Yeah. So I coach a number of people across a diverse set of backgrounds, men, women, etc. You know, there is nobody that I work with who has come through the Australian system all the way from birth, to be perfectly honest. We've all come from somewhere with different skills. So, but what I'm particularly passionate about is supporting women, particularly those that are coming back to work or have had families, to kind of help them understand what's possible. Just because it's not a either or question anymore.
Yeah.
It's not an either you do your
family
career.
Family or career.
Or you do your career. But there is a way of managing it. But also to kind of help them understand that it's not easy and you have to make choices. And those choices may be hard, but you need to make those choices because you can't do everything. So you can't be superwoman because you will kill yourself. But how do you make those choices and how do you find the role models to be able to help you understand what's right for you and your family? And how do you prioritise to make sure that you're getting the right amount of time for your family, for your career and for yourself? And that, you know, as Candice and I have had many conversations, that you're eating properly.
Because you're pretty incredible what you do. You're a single mum of two teenage boys. You are a partner in a worldwide firm, amazing, and you travel for work every second week or thereabouts, and you still train every day. That's pretty incredible.
Yeah, but I have worked very hard on that prioritization,
which
and
is
it doesn't
awesome.
Happen. It doesn't work every single day. Sometimes the wheels fall off. Tuesdays, the wheels fall off most Tuesdays.
We need some new wheels for Tuesdays.
So, because I'm trying to be in three places at once.
Yeah.
And so I have to like take a step back and say, right, okay, well, it's not possible for me to actually finish at 8:30 and appear somewhere else 2 minutes later. So how am I going to do that? Okay, well, I'm going to have to train at a different time of the day. And that means that I need to move those meetings, or I need to find a way of getting somebody else to attend those meetings. And then I'll do some extra hours when I get back after gym in the evening to be able to manage those things. And then and also putting in time for lunch.
Yeah, important. Food is important.
Well, that's actually another question that I've got. The next one that I want to ask is, this is all I've ever done for work, right? So this type of industry, it's all I've ever been around in terms of, like, I've tried some other things, but for a very short amount of time, just to make sure that this is what I've always wanted to do. Alcohol, bad eating, whatever you want to call it. It's not like people rock up to work here and bring Maccas and donuts every day. It's not like people rock up to work and are drinking or whatever. So my question to you is, in the professional field you're in, how much of it is surrounded by wine and cheese?
How many dinner and lunch meetings do you need to go to?
Plenty. If life could be made of wine and cheese and caffeine.
She'd be thriving.
Unfortunately, we can't exist that way. There is a lot of socialisation from a work perspective, and there's lots of poor, you know, eating habits around, you know, eating lunch after three and or skipping breakfast because you need to get in and stuff like that. So I think that's just generally when you've got busy full-time workers just working together, where we're not necessarily prioritizing kind of that wellness element and actually taking that break for lunch, because stuff is constant and the to-do list extends, it never shortens. So it's always there. So probably when I'm away, I probably go to at least one or two lunches and a dinner.
Beck is my go-to person for like Sydney and Melbourne. Where are the best restaurants? Where can I get the best food? She's always got a very long list for me, which is great.
Yeah, nice.
Mm.
And new places.
Because she's been to the mall.
For meetings.
For meetings.
And... Yep. So when you started here and you decided to take care of that health side a little bit more, did you find it difficult to balance the work meeting lunches and the health?
So I was pretty much existing on red wine and caffeine when I started here. And I definitely wasn't eating any carbohydrates because they were bad until I had one PT where Candice sat me down and said, why do you hurt so much? Oh, I've been eating really, really well, but I don't eat any rice or carbs, you know, because they're
ill.
Really bad.
Because ill. Thought,
but wine. Okay.
Lots of wine.
That's what she gets
at that point. You were like, stop right here, sit down and tell me what you eat.
That's right. I cancelled the PT. I was like, take a seat.
At that point, I was like, uh-oh. And so it's kind of been a journey from that point onwards around a few things that sticks in my mind. If you feed your children, why don't you feed yourself? Which is
I remember that being a big one. You'd make them breakfast.
Snap.
Yeah. Breakfast, lunch, dinner. But she was like doing that and then going back to work and not having anything.
Yeah.
Mm. Such a fucking mum thing.
Mum thing.
Makes me wild. Then I'm over here like, Kelly, piss off. Get away from my lunch.
Don't touch it.
I'll make yours in a minute.
I'm also one of those people that when they get stressed, they stop eating.
Oh.
So you're either one or the other. You either get stressed and you eat,
yeah,
or you get stressed and you stop because you're just not hungry.
Yeah.
And also I don't like eating while I'm talking to people. Oh. So you go to like breakfast.
So much time wasted for you, Beck. You could like put these two things together.
Exactly. But going to a breakfast meeting and then trying to talk to somebody while you're trying to eat something.
Yeah.
I find just really hard.
You just got to chew real fast while they're talking.
And then trying to hold a cup of coffee on a saucer and a plate. How do you get it into your mouth?
So many questions.
Also, while we're here, have you started practicing using your phone on the toilet? Because that's another good...
You could be getting so much more work
done. If you did those two things on either side...
We just fixed all of your life. Tuesdays. We just fixed Tuesdays for you.
Yeah. I'm still not going to be working on my phone.
I think she was mortified that question of the day. Oh, it was the best.
So funny.
No. I'm trying to like make sure that's not a habit for my children either.
It's where I get all my good work done, but whatever.
I just wasn't eating. But I did have, I still have a massive caffeine addiction. And
I found that out last night. Last night's question of the day.
And it comes and kind of comes and goes, and I'm trying my best to only buy one coffee a day. Because, you know, $5-6, it's becoming very expensive.
Expensive habit.
If you add it up over a week. And alcohol generally is just part of my life. It's not like I have a dependency. I'm not sort of sitting there shivering at 11 o'clock in the morning. But it is something. I'll come back in the evenings and I'll think, oh, I could just sit down and read my book for a minute. I'll just pour myself a glass of wine. or it's a hot Sunday afternoon and you just think, oh, I could really just have a, you know, a gin and tonic or something, and I'll just play some cards with the boys and things like that. And it starts to kind of creep into your kind of your day to day routine without you really thinking about it. And then one glass becomes two glasses, and then you're like, oh, I have another glass while I'm drinking, while I'm cooking, or when I'm talking to my parents on the phone, or, you know. And then all of a sudden you look back for the day and you think, well, I had two glasses of white wine and I've had three glasses of red wine. Okay, that is more than a bottle in the last 6 hours. So, you know, at no point was I drunk or tipsy or anything like that, but it just sort of like creates a level of volume over time that you didn't realize. So it's really just trying. So I suppose where you're going to is, I'm doing Dry July at the moment, and the discussions I've been having with people so far is that, oh, you'll find that really easy, you don't drink a lot. Okay, how do I respond to this? No, I'm a raging alcoholic. Or yeah, I'm gonna find it really easy, so I was like, how do I respond to this question?
You just go,
smile and nod.
Yeah, I'm doing a challenge for myself that's really easy. Why not? But what it's made me think about is, you know, how many times you go out for lunches at the weekends and you just have a glass of wine because you have to choose something else. Or how many times I would kind of sit down with my book in the evening and think, oh, I'll just have a glass while I'm, you know, the kids watching a movie or something like that. And I think, well, I should really have a glass of water. Or how much am I having a glass of wine because I'm thirsty rather than because actually I'm enjoying it. And how much am I having a glass of wine because the bottle is open?
You don't want it to go bad once it's been opened.
Does wine go bad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah, so it's not like other alcohol.
No.
I thought all alcohol got better with age. Right, learned something new today. We had a brief conversation about this because I found it so interesting and I knew you'd be honest with me about it, that whole like, oh, I could have a glass of wine, that's not something I've ever experienced. And we were talking about like, why and the differences and how people are raised, and I was never exposed to adults drinking. Both my parents never drank, never drink. I don't know why. I think there was like alcoholism a bit further back, so I think my parents just never drank. I did some serious binge drinking when I was a teenager, but never was I ever exposed to, oh, I'll just have a glass of wine, like, for enjoyment, apart from you either get really, really drunk or it's not even in the room. That's like the two options that were near me. Whereas it's a little bit different for people, like I guess most other people, right?
Yeah, so in my house when I was growing up, both my parents really enjoy having a drink. They still do. So when I go and stay with them, we have, you know, share a couple of bottles of wine or whatever. They go through phases of giving it up, normally for weight reduction purposes. Through COVID, they gave up alcohol and saved every single £5 note that they would have gone and bought something. Because remember, in the UK, it's in the supermarket.
Oh, so it's even like more just
so you
a
pick
part
it,
of...
You pick it up like you pick up your milk because it's an aisle.
That's wild.
That you go up and down.
Where are cigarettes?
They are very different to where they used to be.
Yeah.
Both my parents are vehement anti-smokers, so it was never, that was huge. And that's a similar thing to what you were saying. All of my grandparents died from some level of smoking-related illness. And I grew up in households with, as a child, going to Granny and Grandpa's house and, you know, knowing what it smells like to come out of the house after. And so my parents were both very, very anti. But alcohol was not an issue.
Mm.
But it was never, nobody ever got drunk. It was always a social element, or a glass of wine after dinner, or we'd go to France and we'd have, you know, a carafe, because the house wine in France and Europe, it's very, very different. It's not very strong. It's just, you know, from around the corner.
So you're saying people do it because they like the taste of it? Because it tastes like shit to me. So do people like...
Yeah, so it's a taste and it's a social and it's, you know, it's something that you do. And yeah, so there's... So I do like the taste of a good red wine. Very happy for it. To share a bottle of wine with somebody. I try and do the quality versus quantity mm-hmm. element of things.
Do you feel anything physically when you have a glass of wine?
Probably just the at the end of the day.
And do you think that's why most people do it?
I think so, yeah.
Do you think so?
Mm.
Does that like relax?
Yeah.
It's and like a forced relax.
Yeah, and I don't know if it even is like a physical... I mean, I don't really drink. I don't know if I'm the person to answer this, but a physical thing that happens, or if it's just the association of like, I want to relax. I'm going to have a glass of wine, therefore I'm relaxing. Like, I feel like it starts like that, and then it just grows legs maybe over time.
Hmm.
Hmm.
Because what I've definitely experienced since, it's only been a couple of
what are we
weeks.
Like 12 days in?
Yeah.
13 days
13
in.
13 days in, yeah. That I've tried, you know, I've said, okay, well, I'll only drink like from a Thursday to a Sunday and I won't have anything Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday because I'm training and it like knocks my energy levels and things like that. And then I'd get to Tuesday and think, oh, I've had a really bad day. I'll just have a glass of wine while I'm just reading my emails.
It's almost like a little treaty, isn't it? A little treat.
It's a bit like chocolate. I'm trying not to replace it with chocolate.
Yeah, right.
Because it's that kind of like, you know, I'll just give myself a bit of a treat just because I've had a busy day and those types of things.
And how have you felt not doing that? Has it been hard?
Yeah, it hasn't been hard, but we went for that big mountain bike on Saturday and we were up at O'Reilly's and I went into the cafe to buy lunch for the boys and they have the big fridges with all the drinks in and stuff and there was a can of Guinness in there and I was like, oh, really fancy Guinness after being on a bike for 4 hours. It's like, where did that thought come from? And so because I knew I couldn't just... get it, I actually thought about it. So that's a really weird thought. Where has that come from? And so it wasn't hard for me to not do it because once I've decided to do something, I'm pretty disciplined. But it did show me that those types of thoughts are in my head, that when you finish something or do something hard and you want to relax, then alcohol is part of that.
And you think that's pretty standard practice for most adults?
It's very common, yes.
Yeah,
I think some people either like it or they really dislike it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, people think I'm pretty weird that I...
It's a bit like when people say I don't drink coffee and people always go, but why?
Yeah, it's very similar.
I'd that's love weird. Not to have to.
Sorry, but that's weird.
I'd love to be able to give up coffee.
Thanks, I just got real wide there.
Please move me.
So let's just start with one vice at a time, hey?
I'll do dry caffeine next year.
Don't be silly.
It'd be ridiculous.
No one needs that.
You guys will have to deal with me.
You're only allowed in at 5:30 p.m.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Do you think, we're only not quite halfway through the month yet, but do you think that this will change your behavior around alcohol moving forward, or do you think it will creep back in very quickly come August?
I think it will change my behaviour because what I have also discovered is that there's more and more products out there which are alcohol free but have kind of provide you with a similar sort of taste and experience. Alcohol free wine I've found is awful and tastes like grape juice and I really dislike it. It does horrible things to me. I find it too acidic. But alcohol free beer is actually quite a good alternative. And so it's not that I'm about to, you know, buy shares in an alcohol-free beer company and just fill my fridge with it, but at least it's showing me that there is alternatives to thinking, okay, well, how much if I go out for dinner and I'm driving, is it a question of plus alcohol or non-alcohol? Or how much can I drink if I do want to drive? There's actually some really good alternatives out there. And so it's not even a question anymore. It's like, well, I could have a Coke, I could have a non-alcoholic beer, or I could have some water. It's like, okay, Well, that's a taste choice.
Whereas before it would have been like alcohol wine. Choice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Is it a status thing as well for professionals? Like, look how fancy my wine is. Is that a thing?
Not really.
No. I've been watching too many movies.
Maybe like, you know, 30 years ago, if you're a particular, yeah. You know. But people do like to store wine. I've got quite a few friends that have got wine cellars in their houses, and they like to go places and find new places to taste them and store them and those kind
do
of things.
Do they show you their wine cellar?
Like, yeah. Come down to the wine cellar.
Yeah. Look at my new wine that I got. This is a whole other world.
It's a new world.
A whole other world out there. Yeah, because, yeah, okay, interesting.
I think, I don't think it's, I think it would be status in some regard, not statuses, but like wine and food go together. Mm. Good food, good wine. Not every person on the street is experiencing that. And then wine, yes, it's grown in Australia, but the really good stuff is grown in Europe, like Italy, France. So I feel like it's the people who have money to do all of those things are enjoying those pleasures. And like, they're the ones that have the wine cellars in the house, you know, like I feel like all that stuff goes hand in hand. And I found, we were just talking about this before, when I was working as a physio in a big practice, and the higher I got in that company, the more and more wine dinners we went, you know, like it all just came with that higher status in the company as well. Like their weekend getaways were wine tours in Adelaide, you know, things like that. So I feel like it is to an extent,
yeah,
like professionally at least.
Mm. Interesting.
Mm. Interesting. Interesting.
Yeah, I'm just like, from a status perspective, I don't, you know, have a conversation about, you know, what's the oldest wine you have?
What's the most expensive one you've got?
I definitely don't have a wine cellar because in Queensland it's very hard to store. But it is, you know, it's part of. And I've spent a lot of time learning about what I do and don't like, as much as I've know which restaurants and which type of food I do and don't like and those types of things as well.
Yeah.
And so there are certain things. I'm not going to give it up entirely. I do enjoy going and trying new things. I went to Stanthorpe in June and did some wine tasting around Stanthorpe, and I'd never really investigated that type of Queensland wine before. You know, Queensland wine's got some really poor reputations, but Stanthorpe is awesome, and they've got some really interesting stuff out there. So, you know, it's nice to learn about it. It's nice to investigate new food and wine and those types of things. There's some really tasty stuff out there. It's like, but when do you enjoy it for its sake versus it becomes part of relaxing as a habit? That's the two things that I just want to separate in my life, so that it's not something I'm having a glass of wine after gym. Why do I need a glass of wine after gym? There's no point to it.
I think that's what I'm hearing a lot of. I will put down to your success so much self-awareness. You're pretty aware. Like, you can call yourself on your own bullshit before you even get to the bullshit stage, I think, what I've realized from this conversation. So you're like, you can look at yourself and your actions from the outside and then go that.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Like, you're good at separating that, like you said before, the ego side of it and realizing what's going on and fixing it, basically, which I reckon has a lot to do with your success in the gym, success in career, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's also a lifetime of career and feedback. And so in professions, I don't know what it's like in the medical professions, but you're basically given feedback from the day you arrive. So if you have no level of self-awareness as to the impact of your performance on others, that feedback's going to come as a shock. So it's kind of a bit of a self-preservation thing. If you can at least be reflective of how you interact with others, how you perform with others, how you're basically working with other people, without overthinking it, because I'm very good at that too. I'm working on that. if you can be reflective, then when somebody gives you the feedback and it's exactly what you're expecting, then at least then it validates the fact that you realize that you probably didn't put 110% into that project. And they're like, yeah, we didn't really see all of your great potential in that? Is there a reason why? And if you've explored that beforehand, then you can think about what are the things I could change to do that differently? Did I really hate it? Did I dislike the people I was working with? Was I not the right person? Do I need some more training in that particular area? Or, you know, how can I get better? What's the things I need to do? Do I really want to get better, or do I need to withdraw myself? And so when that feedback comes to you, you can then say, right, okay, well, I have been actually thinking about it. I do hear you. You kind of validated my thoughts. And this is what I think I should do about it. What do you think? And then it becomes a two-way conversation around somebody actually providing you with a gift that's going to provide you with the next step, whatever that step is, whether it's a step down or a step up, you don't know. But at least you've got that ability to be able to be open to that. So that's kind of how I work.
You're a deep thinker, aren't you?
I am a deep thinker. I'm a massive overthinker, and I do have to reduce that down a lot, though.
I like it.
I like it too.
And I mean, I think people that are drawn to CrossFit either have gotten feedback for a long time or enjoy getting it. You can't do CrossFit and not receive feedback. You get it every single time you walk through the door.
You're getting it from a coach, but then you're getting it from your own performance every day as well. So the people who stick around are ones who like that and who will do something positive with that rather than be like, I'm shit, I'm not doing this again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, which is cool.
Goals for the future.
Me?
Not Candace. Don't want to know about her.
No one cares about that.
Hear about it too much.
Candace's goal for me is to get my right leg moving and my left arm stronger.
This is obviously a personal joke.
I did start with doing lunges where my knees would just come together constantly. I've now managed to get them to the point where at least they're over my feet.
Good job.
Good job.
Goals for the future. So I always think about the fact that you can't think too far in the future because you never know what's going to change.
Ooh, I like that one.
More deep thinking.
No, I like it. That's a good one though.
But I do have certain objectives I like to do in the future. So I really want to work overseas again. So I've worked in Australia for, 13 years now.
You have not run this by me yet.
Obviously not until my children have left school. So I've got
some time.
Calm down, cold leader.
Like a breakup. Jesus.
A good 10 years in me still.
Okay, cool. That's okay.
Yeah, so I'd like to do that sometime in my future. Bringing my children up and getting them through high school is like the key goal at the moment. Making sure that I've continued the balance between the B word, the magical B word, between my wellness and being able to achieve as much as I can achieve in the gym and at work. Continuing to work on myself personally in things around self-confidence and separating my career from myself, because when you've worked in a particular area, I know you're nodding at me, Candace, when you've worked in a particular industry or in a particular job for a very long time, it can become part of your DNA. And so separating that is important at certain points so that you can create validity around your life rather than necessarily your career is giving you that validity. And so I've been working on that for a little while, and I want to just continue to just keep working on me as a person to make sure that as I go through my 40s into my 50s that I continue to be a good person and I'm contributing to the world.
I like it. I reckon that's a good lesson, just to talk about mums again. It's a good lesson for mums. I reckon once a lot of women become mothers, they define themselves as that, and some people can lose themselves in that they are now a mum and that's it. So I think that's a good way for a career person to think of, but also mums.
Yeah, having teenagers kind of brings that like into your life really quickly. because all of a sudden they don't want you.
They don't want you or need
who
you.
Who am I?
Need you. And they're making choices and you have to let them get it wrong. And when you've been, you know, wiping snotty noses and feeding them for 13 years, it's kind of habitual by that point. And all of a sudden you're letting them cycle 3 or 4 kilometres away. You're arranging to
move across the across the world to New Zealand. You ungrateful little shit. We wiped your all. Yeah.
You're giving them independence and it's damn scary. Yeah. But also they want a mum, they want a parent, but you've also got to make sure that you're giving them sufficient support to be able to make those mistakes. And that also means that you need to think about the fact that it's then don't take it personally that they don't want to be with you. It's actually a really, really good thing. But you're still going to be a mum. You're going to be a mum when your children are 65 at the end of the day. But finding that separation, I'm finding that really hard with Henry at the moment because he's my baby.
Mm.
And he's just turned 12. So he's just on the cusp of high school, just on the cusp of going through the teenage years. And then I won't have any children that want me to wipe their noses anymore.
You'll have teenagers.
I'll have teenagers that want to run their own lives. And it's a transition as much as it was 14 years ago.
Yeah.
To figure out that this small person is with me all of the time. Nobody is with me all the time. What do you think you need to be? So that was a massive transition for me to go into parenthood. And then now I'm going through another transition at the moment.
Just nonstop. Just transitioning all the time, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So goals are to continue to support the boys, give them all the opportunities that they seek out so they can make their choices and have the fantastic opportunity to make that choice, whatever they want to do. Making sure that I'm bringing up a grateful and polite young men that are going to contribute to the wider world.
You just keep checking in, making sure they say thank you, you got that.
Yeah. Nailed that.
Yeah, that they know that lowest level of politeness goes a long way and that kindness is the way that the world needs to run. We're trying to reduce plastic in our house, trying to actually...
Yeah, Henry actually was the catalyst for me stopping using coffee cups here because he came to the gym one day,
12-year-old,
schooled by a kid, and I was taking orders in the coffee shop and he came up to order your coffee, I think, and he normally gets a hot chocolate, and I said, do you want a hot chocolate? He said, no, I can't get one. I was like, oh, why? And he's like, I didn't bring my cup today. I was like, oh, okay, no worries. And I was like, fuck, that kid's doing better than you are.
Sort your life out, baby. Yeah,
get better, do better.
So I'm learning from them in the fact that sometimes we need to make choices about the fact that we can't just pick up something because it's disposable. We have to say, oh, actually, we can't get that. So he's teaching me that. So, yeah, lots of things that just constantly working towards. I'm not a big bang kind of person. I don't say, right, okay, next week I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to, but I do chip away at things slowly but surely over time and try and move in a direction that I'm passionate about.
Awesome. That's good.
Love it.
Anything else?
No. I was just going to gloat about you a little bit. That's okay. This lady that I thought wasn't going to last at the gym past those 3 on-ramp sessions, doesn't matter where she is in the world, she keeps her PT session with me every week. It's either Thursday, 10:30 or 11, yeah. Or if she's traveling, Wednesday, 7:45. I think we've PT'd from every hotel gym in Sydney and various places around the world.
Yep.
Told me she was never going to run, ran a half marathon, you know, no big deal. It's very cool. Been very cool to watch over the years.
Yeah, you've got Hong Kong.
Got Hong Kong coming up. I've been everywhere, man.
You should start giving her like a thing that she can take.
Yeah.
Like goes like traveling with her.
A little Contessa thing or something. Yeah.
Maybe like a keep cup or something. You could like give her... She could like take with her.
Not a wine glass, though.
No, not a wine glass.
I have to exercise without music.
Yes.
So I've had to learn how to do that.
And I've had to do some old school bodybuilding, just, you know, some lat pull downs and things.
Oh, love
it. Get real creative.
been doing, where was the last one? We did it in Stanthorpe.
Stanthorpe, yeah.
That's right. You got me doing shuttle runs and push-ups on the gravel.
And she left the phone facing the sky, so I was just looking at the blue sky for 20 minutes. It's like, back.
But it's all good because you can hear her counting.
Yeah, she's always counting.
Two.
Huffing and puffing. Yeah, exactly.
I
love it.
I have a question for you both before we go, if that's all right.
Please.
It's today's question of the day. Neither of you are at class, so you won't know what it is yet. The people who make fantail lollies are no longer making them. They've been discontinued. So I would like to know.
How does that make you feel?
Are you okay? There's a few people this morning that are not okay with it. What's your favorite lolly? If you were down the lolly aisle and you had to buy something, what would you pick?
Not a fantail. Like, I don't mind the fantail, but it's always like a better idea than it is when you it's in your mouth.
So chewy.
So much work. I don't want to work that hard for something delicious. You're going to have to come back to me. I'm not very good at lollies.
Okay.
Beck, you can go first.
I don't know what a fantail is.
Oh, it's like...
Well, you will never find out.
You better go to the shops today. It's like caramel.
It's chewy, very chewy.
Very chewy. And it's got chocolate on the outside. Not even good chocolate, really. Oh, okay. And they're like wrapped up. You have to like unwrap them.
Like a yellow.
Like a little bow looking thing. Yellow and blue, I think.
Yeah. They're called an eclair.
So
we have eclairs as well.
Oh, okay. They're different.
Yeah, stuff that is... like childhood stuff.
Yeah.
So different.
Yeah. I love hearing people from other countries' answers that they've never heard of. So, yes.
Yeah.
Very, very funny.
So my favourite is a jelly baby.
Okay.
But it has to be an English jelly baby with like icing jelly baby stuff. Yeah. On just the outside.
Like a jelly bean?
I don't know.
Jelly babies.
Well, can you buy them here?
Yes, but normally you have to go to like an old school sweet shop.
Lolly shops, yeah.
And like get them in a paper bag or something.
Oh, wow.
Like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Just like the little jelly guys that come in the party bags? Is it like those guys?
Yeah, like those, but they're different in the UK. Because they're like, they taste different than the ones I've tried here. But they also have like this sort of flowery outside to them.
Doesn't sound appealing to me.
Sounds texturally excellent. If you get some, bring them in, please.
I went to Tasmania last year and did a road trip up to Cradle Mountain. And along the road from Hobart up to Launceston, there is a village, and I can't remember what it's called now, with an old school like sweet shop and stuff like that. Absolutely incredible. And they had the English jelly babies. And I think I looked like one by the end of the trip.
You got a few.
I love eating them when I'm driving. So when I went to the UK at Christmas.
And then you like reach in the packet,
every
you're like,
time I filled up with petrol, I was like, oh, no.
They were like, back.
More jelly babies.
So, did you come up with one yet?
Not really. What's yours?
Nothing. Sour Patch Kids.
Ew. No, you kind of got me.
The dinosaurs from the Natural Confectionery Company.
Not the dinosaur, Daddy.
Yeah.
That's an ad, Beck. You probably don't know what I'm talking about. I'm not just yelling at dinosaur daddy at Candace. Probably something with chocolate on it.
Okay.
Does Maltesers count?
No.
M&M's?
Whatever. That'll do.
Yeah, lollies are
really
yeah. I feel like ever since they've been used as a training tool, they're
yeah. Your kid loves a lolly though. We went to the movies last week.
Does like a lolly,
and we jam-packed that container full of lollies.
She only had her first Lamington and Tim Tam last week.
Yeah, she told me
Jordo bought her both because we robbed her of her childhood and she's never had either of those things, so she liked it.
Excellent.
Very good. Hey, thanks for coming to hang out and chat. That was good. Guess how long it was?
I have no idea. Probably. Yeah,
this is like a Vegas nightclub. Just time warp.
Oh. Hour and 8 minutes. Good guess.
There you go.
Well, yeah, you don't count because your life is on a clock for work. So you should know what things
feel
exactly like.
How long it's been.
She's like, an hour and 8 minutes. Like an hour. she's actually charged us for this time.
Yeah. We've sent you my invoice.
We've gone way over. Fuck. All right.
Like any accounting advice.
No, stop talking. Yeah. Don't ask her anything else.
All right, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.